اوكي، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا رب الكريم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إخوة وخوات، يا جماعة، can you hear me well and see me well? That's the first question. Audio good, video good. How's the what's it called? The stream and whatever. Thank you, Sarah. I think I'm gonna go with Sarah's affirmation and Muhammad Amir Swahib. And Jazakumullah khair. Thank you, Hajra. All right, that's enough for me. Fahim, the only thing that's not working is your recommendation system. Sending me your cousin, yeah? Sending the lunets to me. The loony lunets. Yani, taking up every single second of my Umrah. This video is buffering, isn't it? Oh, really bad. Shazad said really bad. Oof. Really bad, that's a big statement. Doesn't look that bad, to be honest. Guys, it's not that bad, is it? Shazad's exaggerating, yeah? Tell me that he's exaggerating, otherwise I'm going to be stressed and I'm going to have to try to change data and then I'm not going to... Thank you. Thank you, Walad. Yeah, my guy, Walad. You know how much dua I made for you, Walad? For Walayat and his family, because they're my peoples, man. I have to tell you, by the way, you all of you took a big, serious share of my Sa'i du'as. All of you, many by specific name, but all of you, as in logical progression. All of the current students, all of those who got good marks in exams, I made lots of du'a for you. We shouldn't say that. Or maybe we should. I don't know. But Walayat, got his back, because that boy has my back 24/7. MashaAllah, Tabarak al-Rahman. Yep, so Alhamdulillah, we're Makkah tul Mukarrama, sharrafah Allah. I really apologize to the folks like Rafi'a and Ahlul Jeddah, and maybe those who are doing Umrah in Medina and Makkah at the moment, that they might have tried to come along, even some of the folks in my group. The truth is that we got back very, very late from our... We had a really, really nice evening. Like a really nice evening, subhanAllah. I want to say, you know what? The sad thing, you know, this September, it's October now, isn't it? But, you know, late September, Umrah program was the first we did it in 2025. You know, there's a time that I would do like four of these programs, but now I'm just too busy, bro. And just don't find the time, man, subhanAllah. Just really, really tough. And even the whole Aqsa situation, reflections on that last week, it's kind of like empty kind of reflections, because I know I don't think I can get the chance to go probably in 26. I don't know, man. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, subhanAllah, this September, like now, the one I'm here, is the first Umrah I did in 2025. And it's been so good. You know, Obviously, you'd think I'm going to say it. Actually, I don't know why you'd think I'd say that. You would know that if I think something's rubbish, I hope that you believe that I would say it, even if I'm involved in it or not. Right? I will tell you whether I liked it, quality of it. Like last week's lesson was a horrible lesson, right? It was a rubbish lesson. Like we did nothing, yani. It was really, yani, not good enough, not of standard. Even the reflections were rubbish, yani. I was just tired. If I do something rubbish, I'll tell you. I can tell you now that this Umrah program is absolutely off the charts. Now, the irony is that perhaps it's, you know, as they say in the game, perhaps y'all forgot. Just reminding y'all in case y'all forgot, right? It was like that to myself. It's like I forgot myself how good the program is. I've enjoyed myself so much in this Umrah. MashaAllah, Tabarak al-Rahman. And it will be really interesting, actually, because we've got some of the old-timers here. We have Saadia Ali from Canada. We have Saadia Salam, yani, who's from, you know, London, and you know, we've got folks who've been here before. It'd be interesting to get their feedback. But oh my goodness me, man, everything was a buzz, man. And Badr al-Turki is leading Salah in Mecca, although unfortunately they gave him Asr and Maghrib, so not much exposure. I hope that on Saturday they give him Isha and Fajr, man, because that guy is a Bismillahi Masha'Allah. So here's the thing. Abbas is saying that it's a cheeky request. It's not a cheeky request at all. You don't need to say please. The thing is that you can't see any more of it. Because it's, see that, what's behind? It's the, that is actually all you can see. So, I'll tell you something funny in a second, Mariam, but just to answer the thing. So what you're seeing, this is the Hyatt Regency, my favorite hotel in Mecca. It doesn't have hardly any view of the Haram. This is the maximum it gets. It's a partial view of nothing, actually. It's just the minarets. You can't see the Kaaba. You can't see anything, actually. This is like almost a nothing. And I'm not going to lie to you. I never request it, never want it, never need it. It's not important to me. I always say what's important is to get to the Haram, not to look at it. And I get a feeling, really bad feeling, that the more that you get a Haram view, Astaghfirullah, I don't want to be judging folks, but people spend more time in their room. Whereas those folks without the Haram view, let's look at who are the folks that spend most time in a masjid. We know who they are. They're the people who live in Aziziyah and in Shisha and in Nasim and in the suburbs. They come in, they value it, they love it. They know that they don't have the opportunity to go back and forth, so they stay there and they spend the whole day in Ibadah. What do the people in the five-star hotels do? Then in, out, eating, drinking, drinking, eating, eating, sleeping, this, that, whatever. Shut up, man. And you waste, man. Yeah, I'm telling you now, this luxury. But bro, wallahi, they made an industry out of praying in the hotel rooms, in these panoramic windows, and then in the hotel musalla, as they call them, hotel masjids, right? Absolutely unacceptable. Haram, throw it in bin. Throw it in the bin. And they don't even bother going down with us great unwashed. You know what I mean? Because it's hot. Because it's sweaty. I mean, baghad it, man. Come all that way and then pray in your hotel. Bro, thousands of Westerners do that. Gulf Arabs do that. Okay? And I don't want to go off on a mega tangent. I'm pretty sure I've spoken about this before. But it is important, Yani. We've got to, you know, I hate to say it. I do say, I mean, you know, unless someone's proven me wrong, the Haram views keeps the people in the rooms for that much longer, and you shouldn't be in your room for 1 second when you're in a Haram. Be in a masjid, bro. Or try to get in a masjid. I'm just saying that. That's all. Having said that, this room, that's the maximum it gets. Like, that's all I can do. I can't move. Meaning, even if I move the camera, that's all you're going to see out of that window. So you're actually getting feeling it. That's why I set it up like this. This is maximum viewing, and it's not the Haram. Dar al-Tawheed is more prominent. Anyway, I want to say that the Hyatt Regency is my favorite hotel. Why were we speaking about that? Oh yeah, program. Hyatt Regency is like, we're getting it again in December, and I want to say to you that if you have people that need better deen in their life, need a better direction, need some tarbiyah, need some mentoring, get them on the program while it lasts. Because I got so excited in this trip, and I really felt emotional at every stage. Today was really, really special. We spoke about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and the other days were really special. And we've been on a few special places and visits and stuff. And I just did it, subhanAllah. Just, yeah, it's so good. And I just forgot how good this program is. And I forgot how great the team is. And I forgot how wonderful the people who come are. It's been so long. And the irony is that I'm coming again in November with Dar es Salaam, not the Tarbiyah program. But it's an option for folks that need a shorter one. And then December is going to be a real good one. And now I'm thinking to myself, how on earth can I find time? And I wonder whether I just get one done in April, which I have got time for, and then I don't think I've got time to do it in the rest of the year. I might not even the whole rest of the year. And I can feel my age now. I can feel it tough, but it was so good this year. Anyway, back to Badr al-Turki. The funny thing is, his recitation is off the flipping charts. MashaAllah, Tabarak al-Rahman. Today, this week, he's been given Asr. Bro, Asr, man. That's full haram. I'm telling you right now, full haram. How the fish came. Then they gave him, obviously, the janazah prayer. I was hanging on to the takbirs of the janazah prayer like a kid, man. It was so good. MashaAllah. No. Sheikh Abdul Rashid Ibn Sheikh Al-Sufi is a different level, man. Are you kidding me? Right, Fatima, listen, it's really important. Sorry, everybody else. I know everybody else is thinking, what the hell is going on? But come on now, just give us a few minutes. Let us friends, Ziani, just reminisce. The mint mojito is gone and it's been replaced with a lemon and mint loose, and it is rank. It is rank, okay? And just rank. It's horrible. It's gone down. The date smoothie has been thinned out, so it's more date milk than it is date smoothie. So there's no doubt. However, brothers and sisters, the roasted garlic is bang on as it was. Added eggs benedict to the menu, I'm okay with that. Not too bad. Hollandaise sauce could be better. But it's all about the ice cream bar, bro. Come on. Course you can. Why not? Course you can. Why not? Bro, ice cream for breakfast. Bro, mango ice cream with pieces. Chocolate ice cream, smooth. Strawberry with pieces. What more do you want for breakfast? I had like about 17 flipping scoops, bro. And what? Of course you can, why not? Logical obsessions in there, but come on, bro. Let's go. Let's go. I was at the breakfast. Let's go. Guy was bamboozled, man. He just kept the only thing. You know, subhanAllah, the guy got so tired. You know? You know when they use the scoop, yeah? They do a scoop of the chocolate and then they stick it in the water to rinse it before the next one. The guy kept going on for so many scoops. The guy goes, forget this, man. And he just... I broke his system, you know. I broke his spirit. I broke his spirit, you know. I broke his spirit. I didn't even bother washing the ice cream anymore. He goes, you know what? It's going to be the same guy who's going to come back for the chocolate-flavored strawberry. So, yeah. Bit of date cake with that. Bit of waffles with that. Bro, I don't want to make you feel bad, but whenever, let me tell you something. Whenever you see the Hyatt Regency in a program, say, that's what I'm going to. In December, school holidays, it's going to be Hyatt Regency again. Ya Rabbi, that happens again in April. And then I can retire at the top, man. At the top. Right. Where am I now? What else do I want to say? So we just had a great time. And just tell people about this program. And those that can't afford it, remind them that there is a financial help program as well that you should also feel, and if those who can afford it, you should donate to as well, to allow people to experience the program, because I found it's really, really good for people, man. And mashallah, they've been really raving about it, and I love that. And that's what I'm gonna say. Anyway, what else do I want to say? I don't think there's anything new. We shied out all the exam things last week and Aksa everything and blah 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 blah, and that's it, man. Enough of politics, enough of other stuff. No dates confirmed for November, but stay tuned, London. Okay? Right. The text says, I'm going to find a text, man. I think I'm pretty sure Shahzad Salim has it at the bottom somewhere. Shahzad Salim. There we go. Right. Salatul Aidain. وهي فرض كفاية إذا تركها أهل بلد قاتلهم الإمام ووقتها كصلاة الضحى وآخره الزوال فإن لم يعلم بالعيد إلا بعده صلوا من الغد وتسن في الصحراء وتقديم صلاة الأضحى وعكسه الفطر وأكله قبلها وعكسه في الأضحى إن ضحى وتكره في الجامع بلا عذر ويسن تكير مأموم إليها ماشيا بعد الصبح وتأخر إمام إلى وقت الصلاة على أحسن هيئة إلا المعتكف ففي ثياب اعتكافه. That's what we're doing today. ومن شرطها استيطان وعدد الجمعة لا إذن الإمام ويسن أن يرجع من طريق آخر ويصليها ركعتين قبل الخطبة يكبر في الأولى بعد الإحرام والاستفتاح قبل غير قدافة وقبل التعود والقراءة ستة. Let's go. It is a communal obligation, the Eid prayer, the chapter of the Eid prayer. It is a communal obligation and one that the Imam, the leader, will wage war over if a people abandon it. Its time is that of the Duha prayer and its end, and it ends at Zawal. If one doesn't know that it's Eid until after this time, I pray it the next day. It is a sunnah to perform it outside in an open area, to pray the Eid al-Adha prayer at an early time and the opposite for the Fitr prayer, and to eat before the Fitr prayer and to eat after the Adha prayer if offering a sacrifice. It is disliked to perform it in the mosque unless there is legal excuse. It is a sunnah for those praying to leave early for it after the Fajr prayer, walking, whilst the Imam should delay his arrival until the time of prayer itself, or presenting themselves in the very best of fashion, other than for the one performing i'tikaf, who arrives in the clothes he is already wearing. From its conditions is that the minimum number of attendees must be the same as for the Jum'ah prayer, and that they are all full residents. The permission of the Imam is not necessary. It is a sunnah to return back home via an alternate route to the one taken earlier. That's inshallah what I am targeting to cover today. It's a lot of material actually. But, you know, so we did everything and, spoken about, you know, coming early and all the rest of it. Right? And we are at the statement, قَوْلُهُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَحْسَنِ حَيْئَةٍ, in the very best of fashion. That's how I have translated it. حَيْئَةٍ is like, you know, situation. Okay? Situation. So the author is telling us, Sheikh al-Hajjaj, Imam al-Hijawi, that it's a sunnah for a person to go to Eid with the very, very best of clothes, and this is including the Imam and the follower. وَفِي لِبَاسِهِ وَفِي هَيَاتِهِ, yani this is not, and that's why I translated hey'a as fashion. Do you think if I say best of fashion, you know, like I've translated it, do you think that when you read that, do you read that immediately as clothes? Or do you read that as more general? And that means combing your hair, and that means clipping your nails. What are we saying here, folks? Because that was my intention, right? Best of fashion. In the best, you know, I was trying to think of how to translate it. So I mean, you know, trimming your moustache and lightening the moustache. And I want to say, you know, perfume and having washed and wearing your very best clothes. So that is all that is intended by the word hay'ah, best of states. But then I thought, if I put in the very best of states, you know what people are like, you know, mental health state, not state, you know, all that rubbish. People can take these states thing to too many psychedelic levels. So then I translated it in the very best of fashion. So best manner. So I was thinking about best manner. That was the one I was going to go with. And the reason I didn't go with best manner is that I felt that it's too old in English, that modern folks will be thinking literally manners. Best physical state is quite an accurate translation. That is actually a very good translation because it's got nothing to do with the mental or ideological. But that's well-groomed. Yeah, that's good. I get the feeling though that well-groomed makes it too close to the physical nature of not, doesn't include clothes. I kind of feel that. So, all right, can I ask, is the best of fashion a disaster? Like, if I say the best of fashion, does it not cover what I'm saying? So just yes and no, folks, okay? Just a quick vote online. The best of fashion. Are you like, what the hell is that? Is it a win or not? Is it a yes or a no? I've translated it. All presenting themselves in the very best of fashion. I want to see yeses and nos. Is it like a yay or is it a nay? After you now know that I mean nails and mustache and teeth and toothpaste and breath and, you know, shower and hair and blah, 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 blah. Is it a yes or a no? The very best of fashion. And if we get more no's than yeses, then we're going to change it to the very best of, the very, I don't know what to change it. The very best
Presentation. You see, it's just that these words like the very best presentation. Do you know what I mean? It's like very best fashion. Yeah, I was thinking about that as well. English, is it best, very best fashion or the very best of fashion? I also thought that could be wrong as well, that I put best of. Anyway, let's bring up that conversation in the Telegram chat. Okay, let's not do that now. But you get my point now. Okay, so Anas, yani, cut the nails and lighten the mustache and shower up and wears his best clothes. And that clothes will differ according to the people. So some of the best clothes will be kameez, you know? And for others, it will be really nice thobe. And for others, it will be blah, blah, and blah, blah. And that's, yani, to display, yani, and show everybody and show yourself and show everyone. إِظْهَارًا لِلسُّرُورِ وَالْفَرَحْ بِهَذَا الْيَوْمِ, to show, yani, what a great day this is. Show that the day is special, that it means something. Right? Dressing up and going hard at a event or a thingy is indicating your excellence rate. I'm pretty sure I've told you my story. Oh my goodness, it's starting to buffer. Is it buffering, folks? I don't think it's buffering. But you can let me know if it is. I don't think it's buffering. Those who are watching on YouTube, can you tell me whether it's buffering? Usman, can you comment? Because I have a feeling it's not buffering. I think it's smooth. And I think what's buffering is my own watching of it on the rubbish Wi-Fi here. But I am transmitting off my phone. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Gus. Okay. That's what I thought. I thought that the buffering is actually my Wi-Fi and not the thing. That's why I chose to not do that. That's great. So I was going to say that I've told this story before. I'm sorry, I'm going to repeat it again, but I always find it the very best description of this issue. Like, you always learn, you always read something and believe something, but then you find out in a particular context what it really means. And that's the story of our old Pat, who used to be my dispenser, and I did an Eid bash for my whole team. And, you know, it was after work, and I said, girls, listen, because mostly girls, old ladies. And I was like, listen, girls, don't waste my time. Don't get silly. Don't do your makeup. And I was thinking, man, I can imagine this. They're all going to come to dress to the nines and stuff. And I can't be doing with that. Headache. You know what I mean? Some biani kebab sees me in shop with 10 girls all flipping mini dresses. They'll be thinking, what the hell is this kind of mall is this? So I said, girls, please, yani, this is going uniforms. And let's just go whatever. And, you know, have great curry, great time, great everything. So they said, all right. They were blagging it, obviously. I turn up. I used to wear thobe to work anyway, so I was in my thobe and everything's, you know, normal. And a couple of them, you know, they're dressed kind of demure and it's okay. And then Pat's like 75 years old, I reckon, at that time. This story is nearly 20 years old, by the way. Right? So she's really old now, actually. Anyway, she presents makeup, dress, this, that, blah, 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 blah. I was like, Pat, what the fish are you doing? What did I say? And you're dressed to the nines. We're in a curry house, bro. And this is my Eid party. She goes, listen. She goes, first of all, never tell a woman anything about her clothes. I said, Hadir. She goes, number two, I'm old enough to be a mum. Don't tell me anything. I said, Hadir. She goes, number three. She goes, I'm going to tell you what you don't understand about women and clothes. Clothes make a person feel special, and making a person feel special makes the event feel special. And when we want to honor something and make it feel like, when we know that it's not great, no one wants to be out, no one wants to be whatever, you have to artificially do things to make the event bigger and better than what it actually is. I was bamboozled by this statement, by the way. I was like, it was like I just like you know, a light bulb just went off in my head. I was like, Ross, that's a good point. I never thought about that before. Right? And so, so based upon that, it really hit home that to put on clothes, it doesn't matter if you're ill or sick or the kids are going to drive you nuts, and you know how it's like, and you know, all the people are going to come, all the family and all the, you know, whatever. You know what I mean?
She's like, you know,
I love the fact that everybody knows her name, Pat. That means that it's absolutely, yani, 100% told the story way too many times. By the way, Akbar, right? Yes, this is the eSIM. Yeah, everyone knows the drama of the eSIM behind the scenes. But anyway, so the it's my thingy. It's all my phone. Sorry, it's all this internet. Internet's playing up badly. So anyway, the point is that it's important to kind of, you know, even artificially bring something to the day. Is blessed. It's Allah's day. It's Yani, whatever. Does it? But you need to tell people. You need to show people. Okay? That's beautiful. Thank you, Fatima. Basically, dressing your best is creating a vibe. What a nice way of saying it. And that's what it's about. And the وَتَحَدُّثًا بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَعَنِي to spread the blessings of Allah and to show them that on you, when Allah has given them to you, is a practical way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَنْعَمَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ نِعْمَةً يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. This is such a nice statement. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses his servant with a blessing that he loves, he loves that he sees the sign of that blessing on his servant. So if Allah's giving you wealth, Allah's giving the ability, then you shouldn't be, you know, presenting in a bad way and so on. Okay? Not good. You know what I'm saying? So that's, I think, an obvious point. Eid is your very, very best. You keep your best, best perfume, best clothes, best everything. Make an effort. Make an effort. Then, إِلَّا الْمُعْتَكِفَ فَفِي ثِيَابِ اِعْتِكَافِ. One of the weirdest statements, right? This is a position in the Hanbali school, and I've got to tell you, I don't know whether it's a position in the other schools. But they consider that it is not the sunnah, that rather it's the sunnah, that for a person who's in i'tikaf, not sunnah, sorry, I should say that this is the recommended thing, that if there's a person in i'tikaf, that they should arrive in the close of their i'tikaf. Now, obviously, this is only going to be in Eid al-Fitr, and in Ramadan, the last 10 nights, as you know, i'tikaf is when you spend quality time in the masjid alone, isolated away from the people, as separate as possible, and you're doing nothing but ibadah. You turn off your phone, you turn off your work, you turn off your family, just turn off everything and get out, that's it. And this is a sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he would do it all the time, and it was quite easy for him, yani, in terms of in the masjid, he would just set up a tent. Nowadays, different masajid try different things, but you don't really get that kind of separation, to be honest. But it's something. And it's good, and there's no specific reward for this act. But the, you know what's good about i'tikaf is that it's actually a very good explainer of how Islam should be practiced, i.e. not to always be obsessed about specific rewards, but rather be focused on the journey, focus on the process, focus on the actual, any practical benefits that you can't read about or see or have heard from the Prophet ﷺ, but is doing a good job. I'tikaf might be one of the best examples in the world. I talk about that in terms of when I'm teaching or when I'm going on a tangent, right? I'm like, you know, a person would be thinking, why are we speaking about some nonsense here? I came here to learn this. And my argument would be, I mean, I know it's not professional, but my argument would be that that's what you think. Yeah, that your objective was to come for learning about the Iqra. My objective is to spend this hour, an hour and a half teaching whatever I possibly can from my life and experience and my knowledge, not to just teach the subject. The same goes for Hajj, Umrah, praying in the Haram. People make it all about that. There will be people that will get more reward for their prayer outside of the Haram because they got blocked, or people who can't afford to come to the Haram. What about all those folks? And quality over quantity all the time. All the time. And so, I said that. So today we prayed Salatul Maghrib. I mean, you know, I said to the so we prayed Salatul Maghrib on a mountain in a very, very beautiful setting, once in a lifetime situation. kind of no-brainer because it's once in a lifetime. But I didn't want to make it so easy. I wanted to make it, let's imagine you could come in there every week. That then becomes a much more tougher proposition, right? And so I said, if we can look down and we could see the Imam Badr al-Turki, I mean, see it happening. I mean, that Badr al-Turki is now missing Maghrib. I said, wallahi, I turned to everyone, I said to him, wallahi, I'm gutted, not for missing the Jama'ah in this Haram, I'm gutted that I'm not being able to hear Badr al-Turki in the Maghrib prayer. Otherwise, this prayer to me right now will mean more to me than that prayer there. One is worth 2.7 million in reward. This one is worth just 27. But I remember this. I remember what was recited. I remember the feeling. The wind was unbelievable. The temperature was off the charts. The quietness and the sounds of the birds. And the bro, that's what you remember. That's what you live for, bro. That's the salah. Recitation that is relevant. Recitation that makes sense. Recitations that is about what you want to speak about. Yeah, and what I want to say is that people can become obsessed with the reward. The reward's important because Allah and His Messenger use it as a motivational tool. But people, yeah, get a little bit too lost in the reward of things. And it's quality that we need to focus on, not quantity. It's quality that's going to take you through, not quantity. As I've said 1,000 times in how many sittings, in how many classes, in how many trips. Us folks of wealth and means and the West, yani the ability to worship, yani in ease and the like, and the ability to have money to spend on going to umrahs and, you know, bloody blahs, and to have time off for Laylatul Qadr. How about all the people who can't afford to be off Laylatul Qadr? How many of you are actually booking off the last 10 nights of Ramadan? Whereas the vast majority of people will wish they could book off the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Are you kidding me? So people are means and people are the ones, just like the hadith of the dhikr, right? The tasbihat. And Ali and Fatima complaining that the rich people, yani, are going to get both this, and they're going to be able to give the sadaqah that they can, that I don't have the money to give sadaqah from, and they've got rich money and they're giving sadaqah. وَذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Yeah, any, you know, rich folks, wealthy folks are going to be ahead of the game. And so I put to you, my brothers and sisters, that, as I said to these folks here, one day here praying in that masjid over there, just there, you see that place there, is 13.5 million prayers. Someone do the math. That's 5 flipping lifetimes, bro, or 20 lifetimes. Bro, 100,000 times 27 in congregation, 5 times. That's 13.5 million prayers. That's a whole lifetime of prayers with one day. And if you're here in our program, we have 5 days, bro. You're not going to have a problem with the number of deeds you put forward to Allah. It's whether they're going to be of quality enough to have weight. The number is not so important if they have no weight. It's like cotton wool. It's like, you know, takes up a lot of space. Takes up space. But it has no weight. Imagine you got scales. You know, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ was a very visual teacher, and he told us about the scales, of course, following Allah's initiation in the Quran. But the scales are real. Now think about this. What actual function are scales playing? I mean, it's not like, yani, we could question the scales anyway. I mean, if there were no scales, would we say, oh, well, no, I didn't do it? Bro, even when the deeds are put on the scales, we're going to say we didn't do it. We're going to claim, yani, no, I didn't do that. But just so the scales are there to show you His justice. And the scales are there to show you how Allah considered the weight of things. And the scales are going to be there to show you that when you've got one day of 13.5, and you're probably going to spend in your lifetime enough time praying in the Haramain and other quality prayers here and there to amass hundreds of millions of prayers. I want you to repeat that to yourself. Hundreds of millions of prayers. All you got to do is pray about 7 prayers in the Haram, 7 days worth, and you've got 100 million. 100 million, tell yourself that, right? And bro, like me and half the people on this, yani, on this page right now have prayed 50 days worth of prayers in the Haram. So what's that? That means like billions, right? That could be billions. Now I want you to imagine scales. And you've just got everything which is as light as air, but billions of it. What's the value of it, bro? And you know the hadith of the bitaka, everybody's favorite hadith. When everyone's, you know, looking at their scales and it's all going wrong, And it's just people are depressed out of their brains. And the good that you've done is pink little ding on the scale, and all the bad deeds have smashed the scale to the other side. And you go, that's it, it's finished. And the scrolls are dry, nothing left on the scrolls, nothing left yet to put forward. You know it's game over. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulls out the card, the bitaqa, and puts it on the good scale. It's placed on the good scale, good side, good deeds. And it goes, dang, the other side. And it completely breaks the scale to the other side. Because that card, that bitaqa, has La ilaha illallah. Allah has said that you actually lived La ilaha illallah. It's not because you said it. Because many people just claim, say empty statements on their tongue. It's because you lived La ilaha illallah. At some moment in your life, you were facing some situation and you just La ilaha illallah your way through it, man. You La ilaha illallah your way through it. Some shirk moment, some qadr moment, some desired moment that you were about to be overcome, and you reminded yourself that La ilaha illallah. And then you got up for fajr. You lived La ilaha illallah, and the weight and the significance of that moment and that action and that reality and the tawheed that this deen is based upon is going to blow the scales to pieces. And so I say to you, my brothers and sisters, and I'm sorry I've repeated this, this must be the single thing that I repeat more times than any, because I can't see past this hadith or this concept. It's so important to become better people. It's so important to have meaning in our prayers. It's so important to connect with the words. It's so important to be in the divine presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we pray. It's so important for us to be bigger and better. You know? So important, man. So important. So yeah, so anyway, we're up there. What are we talking about now? Oh yeah, so I'm saying that there's that down there is 13.5 million reward and up here is 27, but my goodness gracious, I put that 27 on the scales, bro, I tell you right now. You know what I mean? And I also want to say that you got to be careful, don't lose your mind, and be careful you don't go against the loss. Don't go against, don't try to make it, because once you've got people chatting like this out of their own pocket, it can get dangerous, because we have texts and we have Sharia to protect. But the good thing is that it is permissible. I wasn't obligated to pray in the haram. I was outside, time for prayer, and we have a congregation, and that's it. So my point is that sometimes people get fixated on the reward, and actually it's the process and the things you do along the way and the small things that don't have rewards that will define you, that will be the biggest moments, that will be the special, special moments. And so, itikaf is one of these actions. I look back very fondly on my early itikaf moments. It's very difficult for me to do itikaf now. Now I only do portions of a day, but I used to do the full lot. I know this game well, bro. I spent most of my 20s and my 30s in itikaf, actually. And sometimes I'd be the one person in the masjid, then it started getting popular. And it's just great, man, having that time, especially the Quran. And the very common question, of course, is women about, even today I was asked this question, can you do itikaf at home? And the answer is no. Women's itikaf is also in the masjid. I get it, that why they say that, because if masjids don't have a place, then they don't have a place. And obviously, just isolating yourself in a home is better than nothing else. But itikaf is only itikaf because you're out of the home environment. A woman, what are you talking about? A woman, bichari, miskina, she can never survive out of being in work mode and zone at home. And I remember when we were kids, we wouldn't even let our mom pray. We wouldn't even let her pray. Like, if she's praying and we're hungry, we'd speak to her in the prayer. We'd say, Mom, we're hungry. And she would go, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Like, just to tell us to shut up and get lost. We were like, no, now we're hungry. Yeah, and imagine the person praying, and still have to look after little brats like us. You know what I mean? So, So if you can't go to a masjid, find another masjid. If you can't go to the masjid, you just stay at home and do your best. Maybe Allah accepts your intention. So women should do it like the Sahabiyat used to do it. They just do it in the masjid, and that's what it is. So I think it's good. It's great benefit, great yani opportunity to try to do it. Anyway, to get back to the point, why did the Hanbali say that you've got to come in your clothes of your itikaf? Now, first of all, when do you leave itikaf? At Maghrib time. So once the moon has been sighted, it's not like you spend the night in the masjid. So this is why this opinion just gets weirder and weirder. All right? You are going home. Okay? You are going home. So, yeah, I think Nazish, you're asking that question, is this the opinion of all four schools? What you basically say is that I have heard in my madhab, the Hanafi madhab, as I grew up as a Pakistani, that we do itikaf at home. I bet you, Nazish, humor me and tell me, was that your intention? And if that was your intention, the fact that I interpreted that from the statement, is this the opinion of all four schools? When actually what you meant, I'm a Paki, I'm a woman, and I've been told all the time that we do it in the Hanafi school as Pakis at home. And what I want to say to you is, if that was your intention, and now she's going to turn around and say, nope, that wasn't my intention at all. Anyway, either way, I'm going to answer that question anyway. That I don't think that's the Hanafi position. I think it's a Paki position. I think that's more of our culture and the Deobandi kind of version of Hanafi fiqh than the Mu'tamad of the Hanafi school. That's what I believe, but I'm more than happy to be proven wrong, and I also feel that I will be proven wrong because I'm not sure of that. But I have a feeling it's a Deobandi position. Yep, there you go, Nazish, you are welcome. You're meant to say, you know what, you killed it, you smashed it, absolutely got it right. I was right. Well done, A.E., you win again. So, thank you, Abbas. See, real recognizes real. Abbas knows that was really some good detective work. Nazish is like, eh. Right. So, you're going home at Maghrib, bro. You're going to have a shower and get up. Why would you be wearing the clothes of your itikaf? You know what the Hanabila said? The Hanabila said, but the clothes are dirty and battered and a bit sweaty, whatever. They show the sign of ibadah. And they show the sign of thing. It's like, you know, it's like ihram. When you see the person's ihram battered, yani you know this guy's had a rough yani day. Rough kind of, you know. But they said, لِأَنَّ هَذِي الثِّيَابْ أَثَرُ عِبَادَةٍ فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَبَّقَى أَثَرُ الْعِبَادَ عَلَيْهِ. And the signs of ibadah are showing on these clothes, and we should show it. كَمَا يُشْرَعُ فِي دَمِ الشَّهِيدِ أَنْ يَبْقَى عَلَيْهِ. Just like it is legislated for when the martyr on the battlefield dies, we do not wipe him clean, we don't sanitize him, we don't wash him, we bury him just like that, no shrouds, let the blood flow, let it all be anything, that's going to be a witness for him on their judgment. That's yani the qiyas, that's the analogy that they're making. And before I would even jump into it, Sheikh is already there. He goes, وَلَكِنْ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ فِي غَايَةِ الضَّعْفِ أَثَّرًا أَثَّرًا وَنَظْرًا. He goes, this statement is about as weak as it gets. As weak as it gets, this statement of the Hanbali school, both from an evidence point of view, from hadith, and from a logical point of view. As for the evidence, then the Prophet ﷺ used to make itikaf all the time. When did he go home and then come out in the battered clothes of itikaf? He put on his very best clothes. Hadith narrated by Ibn Khuzaymah, hadith number 1722, the hadith of Jabir, hadith which is authentic. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ يَلْبِسُ أَحْسَنَ الثِّيَابِ. So this statement that the Hanbalis are making is actually contradicting the Sunnah. Straight out, bam. The second point, logically, وَأَمَّا النَّظَرِ فَلِأَنَّ تَوَسُّخَ ثِيَابِ الْمُعْتَكِفِ لَيْسِ مِنْ أَثِرِ اِتِكَافِ. He goes, hold on. He goes, the dirt on your clothes that you are wearing at itikaf is nothing to do with your itikaf. It's because of how long you've been sitting in them, or sitting on them, or using them, or leaning against them. He goes, وَلِهَذَا لَوْ لَبِسَ ثَوْبًا نَظِيفًا لَيْلَةَ الْعِيدِ أَوْ فِي آخِرِ يَوْمٍ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ مَا أَثَّرْ. He goes, this is a sick line. He goes, what if a person يعني, was to change his clothes in itikaf on the last day, and it was nice and beaming and shining, would you say, Ras, this guy yani, did nothing for 10 days. Look at him, he looks flipping like $1 million. What kind of itikaf is this? Would that be fair if a person said that? Yani, come on, bro. So he goes, yani, that's like, you know, that's bogus, that, he goes, that's bogus. He goes that, you know, nobody can make a determination based upon how dirty the clothes are of how good his ibadah has or not been. He goes, as for the qiyas, yani, making analogy with the blood of the shaheed, he said, the shaheed comes on the day of judgment, and his wounds will be flowing with blood, and the color will be the color of blood, and the smell will be the smell of misk. And what are you talking about? Yani, what are you trying to compare to? So there's no. So he goes, so therefore, the correct position is that the person in the i'tikaf, the one who isolates himself in masjid for the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he's like every other person. He goes home and he makes sure that when he goes to Salatul Eid, he goes to it clean, wearing the best clothes, everything. I used to be one of those people, man. We used to go out the last, we'd clear up, help clean up, help the volunteers come, prepare the masjid for Salatul Isha, get battered even more, sweat even more, go home, come back looking $1 million. Great. Right. Then, Sheikh says, and from his conditions, ومن شرطها, the conditions of the Eid prayer, is that a person must be مستوطن, يعني there should be الاستيطان. And I've forgotten all that debate, bro, I'm so tired. But I tell you, I started this day with chocolate and strawberry ice cream with waffles, and so that was a win. We are winning, bro. And tomorrow morning, if we, bismillah, mashallah, are able to pull off, I'm going to have breakfast twice. I'm going to have breakfast before tawaf, then I'm going to go for tawaf, I'm going to come back and I'm going to have breakfast again. And what? Of course you can, why not? Of course you can, why not? I don't know if I can, actually, but I'm absolutely going to try. I'm going to try my darndest. I'm going to say to the brother, I said, Habibi, هل يسمح لي أن أكل مرتين أم لا? Guy's going to look at me like, what in the name of Slobfest are you talking about? I'll say, bro, when can I go home and say to my missus, bro, can I have 2 scoops of ice cream, please? She'll kick me out, bro. She'll kick me out. Bro. Oh, is it? What you got to say though, Wolfram? I want to know what you got to say. I don't want to blags it in a haram minute. I'm on the musalla, as the imam says, isn't it? I'm on the janamas. I can't lie. Bro, I'm in the haram. I can't lie. Come on, bro. Tell me some moves. Or what's the way to put it, yani? What's the language? What's the language I've got to put it in, yani, to say, can I come for breakfast twice? No, Wolfram, that was us blagging. That was us blagging it. That was us blagging it. That's different. We did go as a whole group back. Did we just give the room numbers? What, we just said the numbers again, Wolfram? And we just say to them, we were just taking a break. I only ate a little bit in the first sitting. I only had the first sitting, and you know what it is, and now I'm coming back for my eggs. I ordered the eggs at the egg station, and I was like, you know, oh, I could just come back looking miskeen. Good point, Shahan. More? Please, sir. Can I have a breakfast again? I am looking forward to breakfast tomorrow so much. I'm going to come back. I'm going to say, I need a thingy, man. Shazad has no filter, man. He's straight out lying. I need to go to the bathroom. That's true, by the way. What happens when a person goes to the bathroom in the middle of breakfast? He comes back in again, isn't it? And he gives his room number again. And then the computer's going to be, you know, looking at the room number. And they're going to say, it's been used. And you say, I know it's been used. It's my room. But I'm back again. I'm back again. But that's not fair. But can I just say something? I'm sorry. Can I just say something? I don't eat a lot. I eat multiple times a day. Right? But I don't eat a lot. It's been my greatest achievement over the last maybe 10 years. Yeah, to cut down on meals. I don't know where I saw someone tell me that you've got to cut down small meals, you'll lose weight. And it worked, man. But anyway,
So I don't hear a lot, bro. I bet that all those people in there flipping those slobs eating in there one time, right? It's a write-off now. It's gone. It's gone in the head. As they say on a football pitch, it's gone. I'm now in that delirious stage. I'm really, really tired. It's midnight here. It's been a long morning, long day. Ibadat, namaz, yani, dhikr, fikr. Anyway, I can't believe Shaz said, go say that he's gone to the toilet. Bro, I don't eat as much as these people would think. I eat twice and it'll still be not the same as the other people. I swear, I'm telling you. I eat a lot of watermelon, but I don't eat a lot of food. From Ishart is istitan. And I can't remember what we used for thingy. Head's gone, like your cousin's head's gone. That he raised lunette. Can't believe you didn't give me no heads up, no warning. You're sending your cousin in. Right. It's got to be offered. So the first condition is that the Eid prayer has to be offered in a group of people who are all mustawtineen. Mustawtineen meaning that they are in that country as citizens and permanent residents. I think we're in a permanent residence. Inshallah, final minutes. Thank you, Sunan. That's what I needed. That's what I need. That focus. Bismillah. I'm not going to look at the screen. I'm not going to be goaded. I'm not going to be tempted. I'm just going to look at this text and I'm not looking up. Okay? I won't look up. I apologize, everybody, for wasting your time. We're going to do this now. So by saying that you got to have the people that offer the prayer, that set up the prayer, and the numbers of the people and the numbers of the people. They have to be permanent residents. Means that if they are all Muslim or all people who are temporary residents, then there is no Eid prayer. And so Sheikh says that let's remind ourselves in the Hanbali school, people are of three types. They are either a musafir, a traveler. They are either a temporary resident. That means a musafir who's staying there for like a couple of weeks. So you see, a musafir is the one who in the Hanbali school is there for less than 4 days. After 4 days, he then prays full prayer. Okay, what does full prayer mean? It means he prays prayer like a local, but he's not a local. He's going to leave after 2-3 weeks or 2-3 months or even a year. He's just there temporary. Okay, so that's the idea. And then the third category is a mustaltin, which is a full citizen, and he's not a musafir, and he lives there, and he pays taxes, and it's his only abode and whatever. So Sheikh says, as for the musafir not establishing the Eid prayer, then how can they do that? That's obvious. But as for the muqim, he says, you know, that the muqim is people who are muqim don't establish the Jum'ah. Yep. So Sheikh Uthaymeen says, and the mustawtin yani is the one who takes that place as a watan, you know, permanent. Whether it's the one of his birth or another place, it doesn't matter. If he gets a passport in another country, he's mustawtin. Yeah. So Sheikh says that, so therefore it's a condition for the validity of the Eid prayer that it is a group of people who are all mustaltineen. And therefore, if Eid comes up on you and you are traveling, then it is not legislated to pray the Eid prayer. The evidence for that is what happens to the Prophet ﷺ. He has never, ever established the Eid prayer except in Medina. And he was always outside of Medina and he never prayed the Eid prayer. And those who were with us yani, in Hajj 25 this year, we spoke about this in quite a lot of detail, right? So he went to Mecca, for example, in the year of the victory of Al-Fath. And he did not. And he remained until the first of Shawwal. And he didn't pray the Eid prayer. It has not been narrated that he prayed the Eid prayer. And the Hajjatul Wida, his only Hajj, okay? And the Eid prayer came upon him when he was in Mina. And he didn't pray the prayer. He did not pray it. Okay? Because he was a musafir, because he was a traveler. كَمَا أَنَّهُ لَمْ يُقِمَ صُلَّةُ الْجُمْعَةِ فِي عَرَفَةِ And it was Jum'ah prayer in Arafah. And he didn't pray the Jum'ah prayer. He didn't give a khutbah. He combined Dhuhr and Asr. And that was that, because he was a musafir. Okay? Therefore, for musafirin, it is not legislated in there for them to pray Salatul Eid. And this is clear. And this is the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, I just want to make it clear what we mean by this. What we mean by this is that when you are all a group of musafir and the only people there are musafir, that's what he's referring to. Okay? That's not referring to you are a musafir
in an area where you're living where all the people are establishing the prayer. That's the same for Jummah, same for Eid. Okay? That's the only the difference. Okay? By the way, Nabil, where are you? Because I am hungry and I'm thirsty, and if everyone's not eating and drinking, then I'm going to come and get something. So, وَأَمَّا الْمُقِيمِينَ وَأَمَّا الْمُقِيمُونَ فَكَذَلِكَ عَلَى الْمَذْهَبِ لِأَنَّهُمْ لَيْسُ مِنْ أَهْلِ إِقَامَةِ مِنْ أَهْلِ إِقَامَةِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَلَا يَكُونُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ إِقَامَةِ الْعِيدِ. So those people who are temporary residents, okay, then, you know, they don't pray or do anything. They don't establish the Eid prayer either, according to this position. So Sheikh says, so I'll give an example. He goes that, imagine then that we're in a group of people that are 200 in number in a non-Muslim country, and they're staying there for study. So there's 200 foreign international students, Muslim students, Saudi students. And they're there just temporary, obviously. They are not citizens and they're not yani permanent. And Eid comes, then they are not to pray the Eid prayer. That's according to the Hanbali position. And that's actually well known. And that fatwa used to get passed yani when the Saudis used to be in Manchester and used to be in London in international students. That they used to use that fatwa back in the day because they are not mustaltineen. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, I don't know about this. I don't feel right about this position. Like everyone would say. Anyone yani, sensible would say. And Sheikh Uthaymeen as well, mashallah, he says, listen, man, I don't feel right about this. And he goes, and then this is very interesting what he said. He goes, I don't feel good about this position. And he goes, anyway, people don't do that today. I want you to, you know that statement? That is a crazy statement. You know, non-scholar said that statement, yani you slap him. Scholar makes that statement, you'd be like, hmm? And a top scholar makes that statement, then you're like, oh, well, you know what? Maybe there is a possibility to make such a statement. All right, to say, well, لهذا كان الناس الآن على خلاف هذا القول. He goes, the people don't do that today. That's not an evidence. That's not an evidence. But when you see an imam of the Muslims from the fuqaha, like Sheikh Uthaymeen, make this statement, what he's basically saying is that sometimes the people get it right. Sometimes a cultural idea or peer pressure or old school traditional kind of ideas, even though the evidence is not there very, very clearly, even though it doesn't look like it's legislated, sometimes the people get it right. And I absolutely adore this point. And it's an incredibly dangerous point, and it's an incredibly nuanced point, but it's a valid one. Sometimes the people get it right. And that's true. In the West, many international students have abandoned this kind of position of the Hanbalis that you don't pray. Yeah? So he goes, so therefore those that are in the lands of the Kufar studying, that do not have Salatul Eid or Jum'ah, they're establishing the Salatul Eid. And they are establishing these prayers because وَيَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ لَوْ تَخَلَّفُوا عَنْ ذَلِكَ لَكَانَ فِي هَذَا. Yani they see themselves as like the guardians, the bastions of the faith. Yani if they didn't even offer that, they wouldn't be able to present anything of Islam to the people. Like there'd be nothing yani to show yani, you know, the rituals of Islam and to show yani the game, you know what I'm saying? So I think this is important. Alright? And then so that's an important point. Yeah. And then the adad al-jum'ah and the number, so the person of the Hanbali said that for the Eid prayer to be established, the people are going to be mustaltin. We said that yani that's not necessarily the case. And Yani, what do I mean by, when I say not necessarily the case, what I mean is that in our position, we don't have three categories. We have someone who is mustaltin or qalim muqim, and we have someone who's musafir. The musafir doesn't do these prayers, and whoever's not musafir does. So that's what I want to say. Our class position is that the muqim establishes the Eid prayer, because the muqim is the same as the mustaltin. Yani there's no, although we can describe a difference between the two, but just like in the chapter of Jum'ah, we said that we're not, yani there's only two positions. You're either a traveler or you're not a traveler. You're a resident or not resident. That's it. Okay? So that's our first position. As for the number of Jum'ah, that means that the Hanbalis want 40 people, as we remember when we studied it. Minimum of 40 people have got to be there to pray that prayer. And then the Eid prayer can go ahead. What did our class position was? Our class position is that no, the evidence for 40 is not there. The evidence is for 3. So if you, as long as you have 3 people, then the Jum'ah prayer can be established. And then it is then obligated upon the community. As long as there are 3 people that can pray it. And the same for Eid prayer. It is still for Eid prayer. Okay? So Sheikh says that if a person, therefore, in a town or in a village cannot find except one Muslim, then he doesn't pray the Eid prayer. And if there's only 2 people that are establishing the Eid prayer, then he doesn't. But if there's 3, then they all must establish the Eid prayer. And finally, his statement, La idhnu imam. And there's no need for the imam's permission. By the way, I don't know, for those people who are using a Sharh Mumti' copy, whether 15 volume 1 or 10 volume 1 or the new Saudi one, I'd be interested to know what it says in your text. Does it say wa'adadul jum'ah la idhnu imam or al imam? Because in my copy it says la idhnu imam, and it should be al imam. All right, if you can just check your texts, not the notes, because I corrected it in the notes. Right, the Zad al Mustaqnit notes, it says la idhnul imam, al imam. It just says imam. Interesting, that must mean that there is some manuscript kind of situation going on, because I think that that's been narrated by some reason. Now, the reason why that's incorrect, la idhnu imam, is that that would mean you don't need the permission of an imam. That would be the masjid imam. But actually the intention here is la idhnu al-imam, meaning the leader of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the ruler is being referred to, who is al-imam, he's not imam. La idhnu imam in Arabic means you don't need the permission of any imam, a imam. La idhnu imam means that you do not need authority from legal authority and from the ministers and whatever. Okay? Now, why is this an important point? Sheikh Uthaymeen is trying to make the point, just like for Jum'ah, just like for most things, all right, that this is a very important principle in the deen. It's something that is to be established regardless whether the imam wants it or not. Because as he says, even if the imam says no, you've got to go and do it, and he's got to be disobeyed, because there is the most important maxim, which is La ta'a limakhluqin fi ma'asiyatil khaliq. There's no obedience to the creation in disobedience to the creator. That leads to disobedience of the creator. Okay? So it's not possible to do that, that you obey someone and not do it like, and it be disobedience of the creator. That's crazy. And Sheikh goes that when we cover this in Jum'ah, that you got to seek the permission of the imam. But what is it that you got to keep? What is it that you got to get permission for from the ruler? To do a second Jum'ah, a third Jum'ah, fourth Jum'ah. Why do you need permission for that from the ruler? Because you're creating fitna. You're creating confusion. You're creating civil confusion. This is not your job to do that, right? Likewise, if you're in an area where the ruler is not practicing, is some idiot, whatever, whatnot, and nobody's praying Jum'ah, you have to establish a Jum'ah if you've got the minimum numbers. You don't wait for the authority. But if the masjid is run, the masajid are run by Wazirat al-Awqaf, Islamic Affairs, and the ruler is in it and knows the game, and there's a whole department, you can't just go willy-nilly and say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to set up a new masjid, a new musalla for Jum'ah. Well, you can't go and do that and divide the people, make them confused. Who am I going? Where am I going? No, not allowed. Likewise for Eid prayer. If nobody's establishing the Eid prayer, you have to establish the Eid prayer. And you can't use some silly excuse to say that the imam has not given me permission. The imam is going to be held accountable by Allah. If he hasn't set the Eid prayer up, you've got to. Now you say, I want to do Eid in a park. I want to do a second Jama'ah. You want to go and make sure you get a license, mate. You got to go and find out, get permission. And doing all of that behavior and That's why, because you're now creating an alternative and then a third and a fourth, and you're bringing an ikhtilaf into the issue. You get what I'm saying, folks? So I think this is really a good and a clear point. All right? And that, my brothers and sisters, wasn't as bad as it was looking at one point. We did actually cover, four pages-ish. And I'm okay with that. Let's do a few questions. That's right. Umar has come. That is a evidence. And you'll see in the Musannaf any other actions of the Sahaba doing itikaf. It's not a very common action, though. Can a Musafir pray Eid prayer? Yes, even if it's not obligated upon them. They can. How about if you are a traveler and the local permanent residents are establishing? Yep, I've answered that. You've got to do that. What if you're traveling back to your place of residence and arrive before Dhuhr? Well, if you're traveling back to your place of residence and arrive before Dhuhr, you don't have to pray the Eid prayer. Yeah. If the Eid prayer has been, if it's like been established, you've got to. Now, if it's all gone and there's no Eid prayer being offered, okay, then you're stuck. But it is obligation upon you, yeah. Okay. I mean, what a sick dua. Being in a place I'm never tired. Great. But absolutely, honestly, I'm getting so tired. Ras Maryam Khan with the flipping too much information, yani admissions. Oh my goodness. Sick. My goodness. By the way, it's 12 o'clock. Been on the thingy for a long time, on the blower for a long time. Right, I don't think there's everyone talking about ice cream. I asked around if there's any masajid in Illinois that did arrange the calf. I got a bunch of alimas coming for me and correcting my deen. Ras. Those yani girls don't play. Yeah, them don't play. Right. I don't think there's any questions. I think we're done. Auntie Shakila, because you have said so, I'm going to do that. I'm going to eat and I'm going to rest. Umar Khan, Umar Khan got good results, man. We've got to give him his question. Yallah. If someone realizes that a large number of their prayers in the past were invalid, not through intentionally missing them, but due to something like a problem with the tahara that they were unaware of or a mistake they were making in their wudu, what should they do? If it's fundamental knowledge that they did, sorry, if it's knowledge that they didn't know was required, then that prayer is pardoned, in my opinion. Should they make an attempt? No, they shouldn't. That's my position. Okay, that's yani. But this is not intentional. Yeah, it's not a long-winded question, and there's no apology needed. And jazakumullah khair. And Maryam, why don't you? I didn't see that. I checked the group, by the way, so I didn't see any of that. Yeah. Okay, and maybe this is, you mean several sisters somewhere else, you mean? Yeah, that's fine. Put it in LP, let's have a discussion about it. If something is bothering people, it's always worth putting some time in if it helps a lot of people. Barakallahu feekum, Mbalu. Mbalu's asking about how the group was and everything. And the group's great, everyone's great. It's great. But nothing like getting home, inshallah, soon. Barakallahu feekum. Wa jazakumullah khair. And those who are asking about November, I can't give you the dates exactly or the location, but book it in that second weekend and third. Oh, I can't check the calendar again. No, I can. Guys, I can. I have a calendar here. Okay. Yes. 7, 8, 9. So the 7th evening, 8 all day, 9 all day, 15th all day, 16th all day. I'm telling you now, book those days. All right? We don't have a venue yet. But I have taken those days off from work. I am committed, absolutely fully committed. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and love you all. I appreciate all of your love and concern. I'm going to go now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.